dive right in. This is Ozdroid Podcast 126. Hello and welcome, everyone. Sorry for everyone in the live chat room. It's been a little bit of a bumpy ride getting it started. We are recording live on Tuesday, November the 4th, 2014. I am Jason Murray. Joining me tonight, we have Scott Plowman and Dan Tyson. Gentlemen, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
It's a start.
Yeah.
You can only go uphill from here.
Well, we say that every week, but it tends to not, doesn't it?
We tend to find new depths every week.
Scott, there's nothing wrong with optimism. That's all I'm going to say. okay, Dan, before we start, anything, I want an update on Dark Overwatch.
Yeah, no.
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 It ain't happening. So, yeah. What are you enjoying this week?
I watched Gravity again.
Yeah. I watched Stella this week.
Yeah, I hate you. I really want to go see that movie. I've been lusting after it since I saw the first trailer and just went, "Oh, Christopher Nolan, I love you."
Yes, yeah, I had the opposite reaction because I was like, it's Christopher Nolan. But yeah, okay, no, fair enough. So that's opening up on Thursday. Are you going to run off and see it?
I surely am, but I'll have to probably wait till probably about 2 weeks' time.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm taking overtime because you know that $2,000 bill I racked up last week in that spreadsheet? Got to pay for that, so that means I'm doing overtime.
But you haven't actually been able to spend... Look, let's start, Scott. I'm going to assume you don't want to talk about any TV shows. Let's start. We have an episode of Nexus Rage to begin with.
Just let me freaking order them.
Yeah.
I know. I'm with you.
I'm over the Nexus 6 at the moment. I'm seriously considering not buying the Nexus 6 because I'm not excited anymore. I'm annoyed. I just want to give someone money in exchange for goods and services.
That's a novel idea, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I know. No one even wants to talk to us about when the Nexus 6 is going to come out here. Motorola flat out told us it's going to be up for pre-order at the end of October and then went, oh, shit, that's the US. Sorry, guys. Maybe November.
God.
No one wants to talk Nexus 6, and it's kind of annoying.
So whose fault is it? Google or Motorola?
Google's.
Yeah, no, it's flat out Google.
Yeah.
I was going to blame Motorola.
Okay, I'll clarify. In terms of actually telling us when we can actually order it, it's Google. In terms of actually being able to supply enough units to fulfill orders, that's Motorola. Totally Motorola.
Actually, yeah. I still think it's Google because we know from the LG relationship last year that Google orders devices and then sells them.
Yeah, we're not convinced. I won't say evidence. My theory is based on the whole Moto 360 fiasco where they announced it in, what, March or April, and they are still struggling to get numbers out now. You know, I don't know. I just make the damn things and sell them to us. You know, look, HTC have got the Nexus 9. You can buy it now and have it delivered, you know, shipping in 1 to 2 days. It's what the thing says now. So why the hell can't Motorola do the same with the Nexus 6?
Actually, so hang on, just go back to the Nexus 9. Does it actually say shipping in 1 to 2 days on the website now?
It certainly does, yes. I just checked it a minute ago.
Oh, so that's updated from an hour ago.
Now, come on, get with the times. You're a bit slow there.
I'm sorry. I'm totally
that's
over.
That's right, Dan. He's going to write a post on it before we finish up.
You sure? Yeah, okay. I will.
I know. So anyway, so Nexus 6 is not a happening thing in Australia, and none of us are particularly happy about it. We have seen a few photographs of people with their hands on Nexus 6 devices overseas. They have told us that it is not as big as it looks, which is quite encouraging.
That's what she said.
Really? That's kind of the wrong conversation. we're trying to get our hands on some camera samples. And honestly, like at this point, like I said, I'm annoyed. I don't I'm almost annoyed enough not to order the thing, but I just know as soon as it goes up, I'm going to just have an episode of Gadget Lust and just buy the freaking thing anyway.
You just know that I'll be awake at 3 a.m. when it goes up for pre-order. I'll call you, and in your sleep-deprived state, you'll just order it.
Yeah. That's what happened last time. That's how I've ended up with a white Nexus 9 on order.
I ordered the white Nexus 9.
Scott, you and I can do a virtual white high five, because that doesn't sound racist or anything.
Going back to my black heritage.
Okay, so let's talk about Nexus 9. Orders are taken. It's about to ship. Everything seems very straightforward. It's running like a well-oiled machine over at HTC. What's going on? Do you reckon there's not as much interest in the Nexus 9 as the 6 that's allowing them to do this in a slightly smoother fashion?
Well, about the Nexus 9, I mean, they're basically going, well, it's not the Nexus 7, it's not super cheap.
Well, I think Google's approach is no longer to make affordable devices, but to go back to what the Nexus line should be and be a reference device and showing what Android can do, you know, giving us top-of-the-range specs and showing the manufacturers, hey, this is what can be done.
Yeah.
I'd rather that.
That's exactly what my point is, but that's basically that there's a lot of people out there just who are still upset that that both the tablet and the phone this time around are both expensive. Like, they keep going, but that's not the Nexus way, and I keep going, well, it's actually been more expensive than not. Like, it's only the Nexus 4 and the Nexus 5 that got super cheap. So,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Like, it's always been Nexus 7 line is here's what we want developers to look at. Here's the sensors. Here's the hardware we're working with now. Go for it. Like, that's what it's always been about. It's never been about here's a cheap device. That was just the last two Nexus phones. To a lesser extent the Nexus 7, but that was because the Nexus 7 was quite frankly a very cheap device to manufacture anyway. But yeah.
Yep.
So.
You know, yeah. I've been playing with my Nexus 7 a little bit. I haven't really touched it much since I got the Galaxy Tab S, and I pulled it out and I installed the developer preview that I've got updated the other day on it. Damn, I really like that tablet.
It is nice.
Having used the Tab S 8.4, I just find a 7-inch screen is just not big enough to do some stuff on. Like, I can't read my comics on it, and like reading comics is a major thing that I do on my tablet, and like you can't see all of the text on the page. It just needs to be that little bit bigger, like say 8.4 or 9 inches, and then
can't you just pinch to zoom for you? What are you using to read your comics?
Yeah, but then you have to like pan around the whole thing. Yeah,
yeah,
it's
that's okay. True. With the double pages, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, occasionally I jump into Comixology, because I use Comixology, so occasionally I'll do a review, but then it's just like tap, 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 tap. It's just over and over again, because I read fairly quickly, but yeah, I don't know. Nexus Player.
It's going to be Chromecast all over again. So essentially, we're going to see it in May next year. Basically, by the time it's just a non-happening thing. But I mean, just go order one from the US. They're up for pre-order. Go and get yourself a VPN, like Holoron Blocker. There's half a dozen. Tunnel Bear. Use a shipping forwarder. Even Australia Post has got a new shipping forwarding service. So go and try that out. Shipmate or something. I think it's called. So
it was relatively cheap too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it looks pretty good, actually. I'm trying to find something to justify using it on, but I think I've already ordered my Nexus Player. So
tell me, Dan, are you intending to use the Nexus Player for gaming or for media?
Yeah, no, but no, definitely for gaming. I've been using like the ADT one for gaming at the moment, and it's really cool. But I'm getting a bit sick of the Riptide GP because it's about the only really decent game that's been on there. But today,
Sonic the Hedgehog.
No.
What?
You can sideload games on, which I've done a few like emulators and stuff like that, and that's really quite cool. But I'm more in trying to look at it from a perspective of someone who's not really going to do that, because it's a bit of a pain in the bum to actually do. So what we're looking for is developers to actually publish their apps to Google Play, which as of today they can. So we're actually seeing Android TV games, and as soon as I'm finished on this podcast, I'm going downstairs to put the ADT one on and give it a go. Because apparently all the GameLoft published 10 games to Google Play compatible with Android TV today. So I'm going to go and download Modern Combat 5 and play that for a while. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, like, playing Modern Combat 5 on a TV with a controller, that could be pretty cool.
That's what I've been looking for. Yeah. So, I mean, I was sort of sideloaded on Grand Theft Auto, and it doesn't really work properly with the controller. So, it's... Yeah, hopefully Rockstar are on that, and I can get Grand Theft Auto San Andreas up and running on the Nexus Player or ADT, and just, yeah, because that would be awesome. But until then, I'll go and play Modern Combat 5 and Gangstar Vegas, so I've got a few games that I can play from Gameloft. Which, thanks to all those 10-cent and 20-cent sales that Google did early in the piece, I basically have a full collection of Gameloft games.
Yeah. Same.
Every time they have a sale, Gameloft, I go and buy everything. Like, I just go, yeah, 20 cents, no worries. Here you go.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. Nexus Player, not really available here yet. I mean, they've had issues enough with the Nexus Player in the States with all of its FCC certification.
With the FCC, But one thing that they don't have in the US, which is getting back to the Nexus 9, is the covers. Like, they don't even have them available in the US. You can go and buy the Nexus 9 from a Best Buy right now, as of today, and you still can't go and buy a cover. Google, what are you doing with accessories? Like, seriously, it is just the worst thing you can possibly do. If you can't have accessories, like, even just a basic cover to protect the screen on it. Like,
so releasing devices is a bit of a problem for Google. And releasing accessories is a bit of a problem for Google.
That's been a major problem for Google. I don't think they will ever get that right. I hope that they can one day, but yeah, it's just not looking promising.
Especially when they charge so much for shipping each time you buy something from there.
Yeah, and I saw something today that reminded a lot of people, if you ordered a Nexus 6 and a Nexus 9 at the same time, they're not going to ship until they ship together. So people who did that are sort of regretting it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that apparently sucks. That's the US. So there's the flip side. So maybe it's not such a bad thing we couldn't order a Nexus 6 at the same time as a Nexus 9.
I told you, Amazon told me the Nexus 9 covers won't be available till like the last week of December.
Next week, is that the keyboard folio or the origami
case? Both.
Oh,
I ordered them both, and I ordered something else. I said, hang on a minute. This says it's ready. Just ship the damn thing. Oh, no, we're waiting to combine them, and they won't be ready until 17th to the 24th of December. I hope they're wrong.
I'll just say there's plenty of time to cancel your order if they do go online on the Play Store.
I was going to say, if they're going on Google Play, I think orders are cancelled and orders will be reinstated on Google Play. So
yeah, I'm with you.
If you're listening, please, 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 I want that keyboard folio really badly. Because quite frankly, I really want to get this thing up and running as a content creation thing. If I can put this in my STM bag, which I can just take with me everywhere, and actually use it to post if I need to while I'm on the run, that's pretty much what I'm looking for.
I just bought a
keyboard case for mine as well.
Yeah, I just bought a Bluetooth tablet keyboard, Logitech one off eBay for $20 or $30.
Yeah, see,
how is it though? Because the one I got off eBay, that cheap one I think you actually reviewed one for the original Nexus 7, Jason. Got one of them. It's terrible.
I told you before literally, you bought that. I told you it was terrible.
Yeah, and
you didn't listen.
I bought the one that Phil's got.
I keep trying.
Yeah, I've got to go get I've got to go just buy something good because it's just horrible.
Yeah. Well, there's a new Logitech one coming out with an actual slot to slot the tablet into. And you can also slot your phone into as well. And you can switch between devices with a little switch on the side. But not available yet for another month or so.
It's intriguing.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, yeah, that's the Logitech one with the slot. It does look like it's really intended to hold an iPad, but sure, we'll see. Let's change gears for a minute. Instead of itching at Google for the rest of the podcast, but I'm sure we'll get a chance to get
out of it. I'm sure we could get a full hour out of.
Yeah. let's talk a little bit about Android Lollipop. Android, the official 5.0 code drop happened in AOSP today. It's gone in. We've seen the factory, the build factory images shell script has been exposed to the public. However, it hasn't been updated to build any factory beyond the last KitKat release. Bit of a disappointment.
So we're still waiting.
We are indeed.
But I have got a constant watch on the factory images page, so as soon as it goes live, I'll have a notification and yeah, that's...
Yeah, you should like put that through like if this then that, and just have it like ping everyone that needs to know.
I'm so far ahead of you. The only thing I haven't done is notify them.
Yeah,
I just notify myself.
So when the developer preview for Lollipop hit, which was actually the last time we did the podcast, we spent a whole weekend actually trawling through it and picking up the tour, doing, you know, sort of performing a bit of a tour of Android Lollipop. So there's a lot of stuff. If you look at the Android 5.0 archive on the site, we've got a lot of things exploring Lollipop. I thought I might just ask here. So Dan, what's your favourite Lollipop feature?
Ooh. Oh, you put me on the spot there. I honestly don't know. I really like the setup feature. I mean, mainly because I swap devices so often that setting up a phone or tablet is just a pain in the butt. And if that comes onto everything, I'll just be so happy. So off the top of my head, that one I really, 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 really liked. Second would probably be Guest Mode, because I've actually used that about 3 times now with my wife on my phone.
Yeah, I quite liked the Guest Mode. I suppose with the favourite features, we should probably talk about our least favourite or the most.
And pro tip.
Yeah.
If you've got Guest Mode on your Nexus 5 and you've got friends who use Google Play Movies, get them all to log in on Guest Mode and claim the free Gravity movie.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing that with all my friends. I've got so many guest accounts on my phone at the moment.
So I've actually been doing that. I'm going to like diverge for a minute. I've been doing that with Inbox because for some reason, my Inbox account, if someone signs in on my phone, I'm able to switch to their account and they get Inbox, and then they can remove their account from my phone and they have Inbox. My Inbox account seems to be the only one that I know of that can actually perform this trick. If someone's actually with me in person, they can sign into my phone, I'll give them Inbox, and they can sign out, and they don't need an invitation to get Inbox that way. And apparently that is actually by design, I've been told.
Really? Why? Why would they want that?
I don't know. I think it might have been someone covering their ass, but that's okay. Let's go back to Lollipop. So, Scott, do you have a device running the Lollipop developer preview?
Yeah, I put it on my Nexus 7.
Okay, so what's your favorite? What's your favorite feature under Lollipop?
Smart Unlock, or what's it called?
Oh, you like that with Bluetooth devices?
Smart Lock. Yeah, Bluetooth devices or trusted face.
The trusted face is actually really cool, actually. It works really fast. Mm. Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Super fast. Like it. Yeah, it's... I quite like that. It surprised me because it worked so quickly. I wasn't actually expecting it because I didn't think it had actually worked. And then I locked the phone and then sort of changed lighting conditions because I'd only done it once and it wouldn't unlock and it went straight to pins. And then I went back to where I was and it unlocked straight away. It was like, wow, that's really cool. And so I started teaching it my face in different lighting conditions and it works really, really, really well. But then I set up my Bluetooth headset as a trusted device and yeah, it's quite cool.
So how does the trusted device work? Like, is it just that if your device has
if you've got if you have got a paired, so if you pair a device to your phone or your tablet, so it's anything, even if it's not currently connected, if it's been paired to it, then you can set it as a trusted device. So I've got things like, I've got a Bluetooth adapter in the car, which is connected to the stereo via 3.5 mil cable, but it's a Bluetooth device. So it connects to the phone via Bluetooth. And as soon as it comes in range of that and it's basically paired, it sets it up as a trusted Bluetooth device. And as long as I'm in the car connected to that, it's unlocked.
And can you have multiple trusted devices or only one?
Yes. No, you can have multiple.
Excellent. That's really good. And so your watch can be a trusted device as well, right?
Yep, which basically makes everything else, because I've always got it on, so everything else is just sort of secondary, but it's cool. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have to check this out, because actually I might try it with my Nexus 7 probably tomorrow at this rate. So I've gotten the updated Gmail account, which, you know, I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit. But I got the updated Gmail account over the weekend, and I set up my work email, which runs on Office 365. So it's Exchange. And so the new Gmail app can talk to Exchange. It can talk to Yahoo. It can talk to any IMAP or POP service, apparently. I haven't actually tried it with any others. But as soon as you connect it up to Exchange, the device management policy from your workplace kicks in, and it sets Gmail as an administrator on your phone that can wipe everything out, and it then restricts your lock and unlock ability. And so, what I want to know is, can I use a Bluetooth trusted device to bypass this when I'm actually around my phone, so that I don't have to? So I want to use a pattern lock. Work won't let me use a pattern lock. They only want me to use a passcode. So every time I look at my phone, I now have to input my passcode and hit the enter key. So it takes ages to unlock my phone now.
So have you got your G-Watch there?
I have my G-Watch here, but I don't have my
Nexus 5. So why don't you put it on your Nexus 7?
Well, because it's over somewhere in the corner and it's doesn't have battery charge. So I'm not going to try it on the podcast.
Yeah, that's fair. No, that's fair.
So that's what I was saying. I'll try it tomorrow. But yeah, so my suspicion is that the security policy from my workplace is actually going to wipe out Bluetooth trusted devices as well. We'll see.
Well, you could always root it and install the exposed module. Mind you, it doesn't work with ART yet.
Oh yeah, that's actually quite a good point, because Lollipop now uses ART by default, and because of the way that exposed modules worked by injecting themselves into the Java just-in-time compilation chain, that doesn't work in ART because everything's pre-compiled.
He does have a beta that works apparently, but it's a closed beta. But he's not releasing a final version of the exposed for ART until he sees the final code from Google.
And that has just dropped into AOSP today. So let's see it works out.
Yeah, let's hope.
So look, we've talked a little bit about stuff that we like in Lollipop. What's a disappointment?
Not a big fan of the multitasking.
Don't like it. It's too big, isn't it?
It's too hard to find things in there, and I also don't like that it's persistent when you reboot the phone. So, like, stuff you've got in there, there's things I like. Like, I do like in the Chrome beta that all your tabs are actually sitting there as like open things you can swipe away, so you can close tabs from the multitasking window. You can also apparently do that from the new Gmail app, which I haven't actually tried. So there's things like that I like, but then I don't like that there's so... It literally keeps everything in your memory. So, it's sort of a love-hate relationship with that feature.
I prefer the... I don't know if you can see that. The Slim Recents. So it's created a custom ROM, so it has the most recent ones down the bottom, and it collapses all the other ones just on the side here.
Okay.
And, it's a nice preview of them, and if to close them all, you just swipe them together if you want to do that. I just find the Recents it's too big and cumbersome. I want it to be faster. If you want to do Recents, bang, done.
Actually, so I got my hand, I got my hands on a Galaxy Note 4 yesterday at a Telstra event, and I was kind of surprised to see that Samsung. So on the Galaxy Note 4, the recent thing is actually like the same as Lollipop. It's like a scrolling 3D view of the apps, and I was trying to figure out whether Samsung ripped off Lollipop, or whether Lollipop borrowed that from Samsung.
It's interesting because Scott, you pointed it out to me when I was looking through the LG stuff, that the LG skin has very Lollipop-like design functions, like especially in the settings menu. It's like very, it's just got things that look like it's been sort of thought ahead. So maybe LG was talking to Google about what's coming in material design. And I've seen that now on, like you pointed out, on the Samsung Jason on the Note 4. So perhaps there's a lot more talking between the OEMs and the OHA and stuff that we're sort of seeing now come through in the ROMs. I mean, even the HTC is fairly, when you look at it, there's hints there of what is sort of even in Sense 6. Like it's not there, but yeah. You can see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do see what you're saying. I thought, so Sense 5 is the one that's out there at the moment, right? And Sense 6, oh no, Sense 6.
Sense 6 is, yeah.
And 7 is the one that's
7's coming. Yeah.
So I always thought that 6 sat fairly well with, with KitKat, at least with a sort of a holo design and moving towards material with, sort of its big, bright, bold colours. And I wonder whether or not there was a discussion happening there saying, just, hey, this is where we're going over the next couple of years. Maybe you can try and move your apps in that direction early.
Well, they're meant to talk to each other. And whatever happened to the OEMs getting the source code, a couple of months before it drops into the AOSP,
Okay, so the PDK, they do get access to the source code, but they don't get access to final source code. So it's still being changed right up until they push it to AOSP. So stuff that they might rely on, Google may turn around at the last minute and go, oh, hang on, we've decided not to use that because of... But things like design, so that's why I'm saying like material design is something they could have foreseen. Like there's hints there, so I don't think maybe they'd finished finalizing the whole material design spec, which is quite obvious because they only really updated finally today. But they can certainly do that. Like they can say, here's where we're going.
And so just see on that, we have definitely seen that Samsung's got some devices running Lollipop already because photographs showing the locked screen, things like that have already leaked out. So Samsung's definitely got access to Lollipop. It just probably didn't have the final code until today, like HTC.
Well, I think they've had pre-builds, which I think HTC has probably had as well, but probably. They've never had the final code. Like, I mean, you can build, like, there's obviously been builds out there. I mean, we had a developer preview 1 and 2 for the Nexus 5 and Nexus 7, so I'm pretty sure that Samsung
where Scott's actually coming from is the fact that the... so when we were talking about HTC today announcing that they've started the clock on their 90 days to update the 1M7 and the 1M8, is that they only just got the final code. Of course they've had access to it before, though.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, exactly. There's no bloody excuse not to have it ready soon. I mean, that's how Motorola can get all their stuff within a few weeks.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
It not sounds really. Good, doesn't 90 it? 90 days sounds shit-ass to me.
No, but from your average punter who doesn't really know, they sort of keep their hand in with Android and stuff like that. They hear, HTC's just got the code. They're going to have it in 90 days. That's amazing. I mean, for you who actually knows a lot about how to compile and things like that and what actually goes into it, it's not good. No, I'm with you, dude. But for the average person, that sounds amazing. It's a great PR move for them. So, like, that's what they're doing. Like, that's all it's for. I fully believe that they probably do have working builds. Yeah. So,
I'd like to move us on. We started talking a little bit about material design. Google this week updated lots of apps to include material-ish components in their design, didn't they? We got
Yes.
We've got a new Gmail. We even got an updated Chrome Remote desktop.
Do we ever seen that one?
That's sort of got a few. It's not real obvious.
No.
But it's there.
Oh, yeah.
So, Chrome Remote desktop, the server list is still old school, like, old school hollow, even honeycomb design. But then once you actually connect to the server, then you get material. So, who knows. Basically everything that Google's got updated for material design this week, if it's appropriate. Some of them when it's less appropriate. Isn't that right, Dan?
Exactly. I mean, there's only so much, like, I feel there's certain points that you can take material design to, and then you have to sort of let go, like especially things like Google Maps and stuff like that. You can sort of make the menu material design, but the overall experience is not really looking at menus. It's looking at maps. So there's certain things you're just not going to be able to do. But I think they've done a pretty good job with what they've done.
They kind of have to.
Go, Scott.
Well, yeah, sorry. Well, when they decoupled all the apps, you know, it just wouldn't flow, I suppose. Back in the day, everything used to be in the one over the air. You know, Gmail was all, you know, Hangouts was all included as well, whatever we had back then, GChat. You know, but now that they've decoupled them and put them in the Play Store, if they don't update them when they update the operating system, then it just doesn't it's not cohesive. It's not, you know, they need to do that. You know, so I'm not surprised they all got updated.
So they also released an important tool this week, the App Compat, I think it was version 21, actually allows them to do material-ish design on non-material operating systems, because the APIs to actually drive material interactions and things like depth and paper and transitions, they only actually exist in Android 5.0 and above, but the App Compat library allows them to build apps that they look good enough. They look sort of material-ish when they run on 4.4 and below. We can see that sort of to its bigger effect, biggest effect, I guess, in the new Gmail app. There's about to be the update to the new calendar app that got announced today. That looks pretty cool as well.
That looks really, especially tablets. Did you see that the month layout with the schedule?
Oh yes,
that looks so nice. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really such a nerd. I use it.
I'm really looking forward to when my Nexus 9 arrives and I can use it to do that.
Yes, so am I. Yeah, I think we all are.
So yeah. So any surprises in the material design update stakes?
I don't really get many. Like, I think we've been seeing gradual introduction of material design in a lot of the apps. Like Google Plus was really the forerunner. We started to see things like that floating button for new posts in the bottom right corner. So we've slowly been seeing it being introduced slowly and in certain apps, and now it's sort of getting a bit faster and there's more. And I'm happy with the way they've rolled it out. Yeah.
I reckon some of the teams inside Google, they've been working on material updates for their apps, and now that they've done them, they've just put out like a one-page cheat sheet for the rest of the developers, and like, you know, sort of the less glamorous apps, like, you know, analytics perhaps. I don't think analytics has been updated, but like, it's probably like, you know, if you want to update your thing to material, here you go. This is how we did it. And so, I reckon as we move forward, we're going to see a bunch of apps get material, but it's not really going to substantially change them. Like it'll change their app bar design. It'll change their menu thing. Things will animate in and out. That's probably about it. I just realized while we are talking about app updates and email and Gmail, we haven't actually talked about Google Inbox very much.
No.
Yeah.
Before we get off material design, how long do we think we'll have material design for? It seems like, you know, a year or two ago that we just got Holo and we were, you know, welcoming Holo, saying it's, you know, it's the new, new Android. Welcome to sophisticated Android, no longer a cartoon operating system.
So technically Holo's been with us since Honeycomb-ish days.
Yeah, I don't really care.
It doesn't really count in Honeycomb because it was the first time they actually brought it out and said, hey, this is Holo Design in 4.0. And so think about that. So it's 4.0, it's 4.1, and it was like 4.2 and 3, and then 4. And... So we've actually had 4.4 for a year. We had 4.2 for a year before that, and 4.0 as well. And I think there was a 6 months between.
So 2011, we came out with Ice Cream Sandwich in October. And so, but give or take, so there was months with Honeycomb there. But really, I think material design isn't just like a new thing for Android, because they've actually adopted it across their entire suite of apps. So it's web, it's Chrome, everything. Yep. It's going to be across. So, I mean, you go and use like Inbox on the web, and you'll see material design in the way they're actually going to use it in a browser, and that's just looking fantastic to me. So,
I think Google should be commended for keeping it fresh.
Yeah, I think they're going to change it down the track, but I think that they're going to actually keep it keep material design as a guideline for quite a long while.
Yeah,
personally, anyway.
Sorry, I'm just offering. Actually, Dan, you said you had an inbox invite, didn't you? That you wanted to give away.
I do. Just let me double check. I'm pretty sure I've still got one left. Yes, I do.
I think SA2 Stella in the chat room would really like that. So
SA2 Stella, if you send me an email to daniel@ozdroid.net, with the email you want it sent to, I'll shoot you one through now.
All right. Look at that. See, we can be generous. So let's talk about Inbox for a little bit. Who's using it? Are you using it regularly? We have. I just want to point out. So Osbroid in the chat room said that he's uninstalled Gmail because Inbox will do for him.
Obviously, we can't do that because Inbox doesn't work for business Google apps yet.
Accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I've done is I've actually taken notifications off my personal account, so my Gmail account no longer actually notifies me for anything, so yep. I've stopped syncing that in Gmail.
Yes, and now same here too.
Did you get that as a request from Inbox to ask you if you wanted to do that, or did you do it yourself?
Yeah. So no, I got the request.
So yeah, I think Inbox got updated to offer that between launch and now. I don't remember it getting updated, but I do recall, I saw the option, but I didn't see it until like this Sunday.
Yeah, but I got that and just went, yep, I'm all good.
So yeah, for sure.
I'm happy with that.
I need to look into how to use it better, because it's, you know, I just go in there and tick what I've done, and, you know, but there must be, you know, better ways you can create your own folders and whatnot. And
so you can create your own bundles and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's definitely something you really got to try and play around, so...
Yeah.
Sorry, Jason.
So if you'll indulge me, I'll take you on a tale of the first time that Inbox really did its thing for me. I went away last weekend. I went up to Queensland, and it was, I think it was like a day or two after I got Inbox in the first place, and I got a ping from my from Inbox that I had received an email update to either my booking or my hotel or something, and I opened up Inbox, and it had bundled everything in a travel bundle for me. So inside the travel bundle, it had my e-ticket for my flights, it had my hotel booking, anything that had come through that was related to my trip, it was just there. It had bundled it together. It knew that all of these trips were happening around the same time. So I had two flights that I needed to get. It was really good. It worked really well. But it was Friday morning or Friday afternoon, and my flight wasn't leaving until about 8 o'clock. And so I looked at the way Inbox works, and I went, hey, I am going to snooze the travel bundle for a little while. And so when I opened up the snooze options, because snoozing allows you to sort of get rid of it and then have it come back at the time that you want it to come back. So I snoozed it, and I said, look, my flight leaves about, you know, 8:30, whatever. I'm probably going to check in about 7:45. So I said, okay, look, I can snooze this until 7:40. Then it'll pop up, and then that'll be when I need it. Then I looked at the other snooze options, and I thought, hey, actually, why don't I just have it snooze until I get to the airport? because when I get to the airport, that's obviously when I'm going to need my boarding pass. So when I get to the airport, it'll beep, it'll show me the unsnoozed travel bundle. I can just tap on it because it shows all the attachments in the bundle. I just tap on the thing, get my ticket to come up. You know, that'll work really well. So do you know what happened when I rocked up to the airport on Friday night?
It wasn't there.
What?
Absolutely freaking nothing.
Yeah.
So I think my mistake is that I had it set a geofence, and I think some structures, some areas, some places are bigger than others, but they exist as a pin as far as
no.
concerned. And so I think the location that Google considers to be Sydney Airport is not actually where the Jetstar check-in counter was. So I can see some of the geofences for some locations having to change. So either being like a distance from the marker, or just an actual defined boundary around the marker. But yeah, I love the fact that it bundled all of my travel stuff together very well, but the snooze until location function just completely didn't work. Osbroid says the location pin has been reported to be buggy. That appears to be the case. So yeah,
I think Jason can confirm this.
Yes,
I believe I can confirm that. But yeah, still, I'm enjoying it, but if I'm honest, my email is actually not... my personal email is not that busy these days, and so okay. I'll go a whole day without actually looking at it. I have it open in a browser at work anyway if something comes through. But yeah, my personal email is not that busy, and so inbox usually just sits there and doesn't do anything. You know where I'd really like inbox to work, Google? It'd be on my Osdroid email, because I get emails galore there, and I would actually like to be able to use that as in the way that inbox handles it, like the done or snooze or the task list or anything. Yeah, it'd be cool. But of course, as with a lot of new Google things, I don't work on Google Apps accounts yet, if it will ever.
The snooze
works. I keep people say legal reasons why, but quite frankly, I mean, Google Apps are basically paid, so get your shit together, Google. You want it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Scott, what were you going to say?
I love the snooze thing. I mean, so often I read emails and I don't have time to deal with that now. I'll deal with that later. You know, if you can snooze it, or pin it, it's just, yeah. I think it's a great idea. Do we see the mill incorporating this instead of Gmail in the future? Is this just a preview to what Gmail will become in the future?
Do you remember a couple of months ago, one of the US blogs actually had... Like they had this as like I think it was probably Android Police, because it's the kind of thing that Android Police gets in advance. They had this and they were just like, this is what's happening to the Gmail app. Oh my God, oh my God. But it's not. And I don't know if it's really ultimately the direction that Google wants people to go instead of accessing their Gmail. What I do know is that if you log into your Gmail, you'll get a requester up the top that says, hey, do you want to use Inbox instead? So they're trying to push people away from the Gmail web interface and into using Inbox, but I think it's good to have the option there. And I think Inbox is going to be, I think of Inbox as like a Facebook news feed for your email. And I think there's going to be people who really, really take to that. And I think there's going to be people who are like, no, I manage my email. You can bugger right off with your customizations and your weird gathering and bundling. I think it's good that there's going to be both options there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Bear in mind also, this is not the first time that Google's had an attempt at changing the way that your email box works. As we recall, somewhat successfully, somewhat unsuccessfully, Google added the primary and social and promotions tabs in their in your inbox as well. Who uses those?
Yeah, I turned them off, except for the forums one. I left the forum one on, and it works actually quite well, but the rest of it sort of got confused. But then I went through about a month ago and actually unsubscribed to all the garbage that I had. So it's probably it's probably good that I did that because it seems to be working a lot better now in inbox. So maybe that's part of the reason I'm quite enjoying it, because it's working a little bit better. I don't know. Maybe they just got smarter in their sort of things. Yeah.
So I've been using the tabs since they came out on my personal email. They don't work that well for us on our Ozdroid email on Gmail apps, because when we started sending emails to the entire team, they went into like promotions or something, and so people didn't read them. But I find it does help calm down my email box. I have a similar problem to you, Dan. I'm subscribed to way too much crap, but a lot of it has sentimental value, and so I don't want to go and unsubscribe from this site that sends me updates when they release video games. I can't even remember what it's called. I think it's playasia.com. I don't want to unsubscribe from that because at some point I might want to get back into playing games on my Nintendo, and I want to have that email newsletter there if I want to. I don't want to unsubscribe from...
Pull that Atari out of the...
Damn right, I am. I don't want to unsubscribe from all of these newsletters that are sending me cool new Transformers, because like I'm going to buy them sometime. I'm going to buy some.
I think my wife sneaks into my mail account at night and unsubscribes me from those.
Yeah, she's still trying to figure out a way to unsubscribe your Nexus collection.
No, she's trying to work out how to get me out of Gumtree now. Yeah. I've discovered a new platform to buy crap.
Yeah, I have to admit... I have to admit, I have a few saved searches on Gumtree that pop up occasionally. And occasionally, like, they'll send me an email. It'll be like, hey, there's new matches for your search. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I forgot to look. Thank you. But, yeah. Look, we've spent a little while talking about email and inbox and stuff. I think I may have... I may have an inbox invite. Mojo says that he's curious about inbox. Mojo, send me an email, jason@ozdroid.net, if you want, and I will see if I can get an inbox invite to you. We'll see how we go with that. Before we do wind up, I think we need to acknowledge Scott. Let's talk about OnePlus, because we never do that when we have you on.
Well, let's have OnePlus for once in time. Now, my main issue with the OnePlus One has been the touchscreen. It's just been woeful from the beginning. Unable to distinguish between taps that were close together at certain times. Now, this doesn't happen for every single person's OnePlus One out there, but it was a fair percentage of people. If you read through
this is true. I actually know an Ingress player who has a OnePlus One, and he's fine with it. It doesn't... It doesn't do weird things with his touchscreen at all.
Yeah,
he's now smashed it, so it doesn't actually work.
You know, but you read through the through XDA and like just random posts, you know, like in talking about something wrong. How does this fix the touchscreen issues that we're having? You know, so there's quite a few people out there that are having it, and they finally Synaptics finally got their butt into gear and released a fix for it, and so far so good, touch wood, seems to be working. Whether Synaptics stuffed up everyone's, because a friend of mine got an MX4, the Meizu, and the fix for that was released by Synaptics on the exact same day, and it fixed it as well.
Wow.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's fixed now finally, and it's, mind you, I'm just about to get a new phone anyway. But,
No, you're not. The Nexus 6 isn't available yet.
Well,
no,
soon.
Not. It's not a phone, it's a surfboard.
It's a whale.
So now that the touchscreen's been fixed, are there other issues with the OnePlus One that you want to see fixed, or is it all hunky-dory?
I'm happy now. Hunky-dory for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Nope, it's all good.
We're going to like this new spot.
I know.
Stuff that doesn't complain. OnePlus One.
I'll find something to complain about. Don't you worry.
I'm sure you can. We have faith.
Yeah, that's what I do best.
One other story that I'm just going to throw in there quickly, because I did say that we were going to talk about. Motorola is now a Lenovo company as of yesterday, I think.
The day before.
So if you're annoyed about the Nexus 6 situation, call your local Lenovo office. Um, find out whether or not they can get to a Nexus 6. The answer is probably going to be no. But, yeah, Motorola is now owned by Lenovo. What does this mean for Motorola going forward? We don't really know, do we? We don't think that much is going to change, but we don't really know what's going to happen.
I don't think we're going to see anything in the next 12 months. I think the 12 months, we're going to see pretty much the same Motorola we've seen, and then we're going to start seeing what happened to things like the IBM brand. So the ThinkPad brand, it's going to go a little bit more cheaper, probably a few less options. Maybe Motomaker will just go away. I mean, they're probably going to do a lot of cost-benefit analysis over the next 12 months to really sort of work out which paths the Motorola business are making money. Lenovo is excellent at doing that, so I think it's going to be...
I can tell them that. I can tell them which parts are making money.
Yeah, well...
None of them.
None of them at this stage. They can lose money hand over fist, no worries at all, but yeah.
That's a valuable feature. So one thing that did surprise us along with finding out that Motorola is now owned by Lenovo, we've also seen a couple of new Motorola phones this month, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
So Scott, you've coined a term that we'll bring out in a minute. But we saw the Droid Turbo that's going to Verizon, and so as with all Droid phones, Droid is pretty much the domain of Verizon. Droid phones tend to be released by other names under other names, either also in the US market or overseas. And we just saw this morning that there is a November 5th event in Brazil that's rumored to be an event that's going to launch a device called the Moto Max, and it popped up on Google Plus this morning.
Brazil. That sort of marry up the hints, and that sort of makes that a pretty good solid rumor.
Yeah, a good solid rumor. So the Moto Max is a 5.2-inch QHD display, 2.7 gigahertz Qualcomm Snapdragon processor. It's apparently it's got 64 gigs of storage in it, which would be pretty impressive.
That'd be
32 or 64, yeah.
That seems pretty standard for Motorola things these days. Nexus 6. A 21 megapixel camera and a 3900 milliamp hour battery, hence the term Max, as Motorola has been using in the past to denote things. This thing looks pretty awesome. There's just one problem with it, isn't there, Scott?
The capacitive buttons.
Capacitive buttons.
Come on, they're crap. Everyone knows they're crap. No one likes them. Well, a few people don't.
They're polarizing, yeah.
Oh,
you love them or you hate them.
Well, I hate them. Android's really? Moved on from capacitive buttons. Android has moved on long ago.
Mm.
And I just think if they... the Turbo is a great device. It's basically just a smaller Nexus 6. I mean, it's got all the specs of the Nexus 6. It's got a higher megapixel camera. It doesn't have the OIS, though, but it has everything else. It's got the turbo charging. It's got the Qi charging. It's a bit uglier than the Nexus 6, I'll give him that.
I like the ballistic nylon. I think that looks really cool.
So I
actually quite like this as well. Like, so the rear of the device, it's not the plastic or the metal or anything that we've seen. It's actually like a nylon back. I actually wonder if this is Motorola putting into practice some of the stuff that they learned by running Moto Maker and going, if we're going to make
it open backs.
Hey?
The shape isn't as nice as what you look and you see on the Nexus 6, in my opinion. If they put, the ballistic nylon, whatever the hell you call it, on a... Because it just sits in the hand better with that angle, with that curve.
It depends how well the nylon conforms to the curve that Motorola's established for their devices so far.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a damn good looking device. It just doesn't need the capacitive buttons. They're killing it. And it's killing me.
You really put out by these buttons, aren't you?
I am. Yeah.
So the Motorola event in Brazil is on November the 5th, which I believe will put it on November the 6th, our time, in the wee hours of the morning. We will find out. Jenny's just pointed out the ballistic nylon in red. It looks pretty hot. It probably does, but I think that's probably only going to be on the Verizon model. Leroy, sorry. Mojo just asked how bad or good is Lenovo at releasing devices internationally. So they're not bad. You can actually get Lenovo phones here, but they're only available on corporate accounts on like managed device plans. I don't think that's something that Lenovo is going to necessarily look to change, because now they've got this brand called Motorola that they can use to release phones in markets that Lenovo doesn't necessarily have a consumer presence in. And so I wouldn't look at that. I wouldn't look at what Lenovo's done so far as being indicative of what Motorola will do under Lenovo.
I don't think Lenovo will change Motorola much at all. I think Motorola are heading down the right path. They just need a bit more, I don't know, sell more bloody phones somehow.
They probably need a little bit of belt tightening, I think, if anything.
Yeah, you know, trim the fat and, you know. Yeah,
I mean, a little bit more efficiencies in their operations wouldn't go astray. You know, you said earlier that, they announced the Moto 360 in March or April, and it's taken them until September, October, November to actually get it out onto the market. And, you know, I feel like with Lenovo pushing, they might actually just be a little bit more like, hey, let's get that out there. You know, why spend this long on, you know...
Yeah.
Getting the device that essentially looks exactly as it did when we saw it back then. What's been going on? So...
Yep.
Yeah. Leroy got an accidental mention. Now you got one on purpose. Thank you. look, it's getting late. We started late. I'm sorry. I think we should probably wind the podcast up unless anyone has any other parts that they'd like to discuss, topics?
I think I'm done.
No, I'm happy.
Scott, you're done? No, I'm done. I think let's go. Let's go. I think we're done. We will be back next week with next week's podcast. We've been a couple of weeks since the last podcast, but it's sort of because we did it on a Friday night when all the Nexus devices came on sale, or the Nexus 9 at least, and it caused a bit of a ripple in the space-time continuum because we didn't have that much news to talk about on the following Tuesday. Anyway, that is it for this week's podcast. You'll find these stories and more on our website. That's osdroid.net. Find us on Twitter. Get in touch at osdroid. You guys can email us. There's a contact form on the website. Leave a comment on the podcast post. There's a newsletter as well. We try to send out updates on what's been happening on the site and news, and throw in a bit of a giveaway. As Jenny just asked earlier, when are the competitions going to happen? I have a bunch of stuff sitting under my desk that I need to give away, and I've been too busy. Yeah, I've been way too busy.
We promise we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually. Sorry. Give us a follow on Google+, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. Links are on the site. If you enjoy the show, give us a good rating on your podcatcher of choice, assuming you can give ratings on your podcatcher of choice. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with us. And thank you for listening. If you didn't bear with us and you just happened to download the podcast and you're like, what is he talking about? Then never mind. And that is it. And we'll see you next week.